We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and Steve, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 8, The Final Curtain. Paul Temple is visited by Sir Graham Forbes of Scotland Yard and by a Mr. Philip Kaufman, who is attached to the special branch. Kaufman tells Paul Temple about a notorious criminal known as Dr. Belasco. During the course of investigations, Temple makes the acquaintance of the following suspects: Mrs. Forrester, Joseph, a servant of Mrs. Forrester, Henry Worth, Ed Bellamy, the proprietor of the Machicha Club, and a certain Mr. David Nelson. Late one night, Temple receives an urgent telephone call from Joseph. Accompanied by Steve, Temple makes his way to the telephone box on the corner of Westley Street and Shaftesbury Avenue.
Mr. Temple, you shouldn't have come here. You shouldn't have come.
What do you mean? Why, you telephoned?
Don't you see? Don't you see? They made me telephone you. They made me do it. They made me. They beat me until I had to do it. Oh.
What do you mean? Joseph, what do you mean?
It's a trap.
Trap?
Yes. Get back to the car and get away from here.
Paul? What's the matter with him?
He's been beaten up, Steve.
Oh, how horrible. Is he dead?
No. No, I don't think so. He's fainted. Steve, listen. They made Joseph telephone us. We walked into a trap.
A trap? But how on earth could we have... Look, there's a car coming.
I wish I'd remembered that revolver in the dressing table. I could have...
I did.
Oh, good girl, Steve. Now, get behind the telephone box. Quickly. Quickly!
Who is it?
Oh! I think he's hit Joseph.
Who's driving the car?
Steve, keep behind the box. Now, where's that revolver? Quickly, darling, where is it?
Here we are.
Good. Now, keep behind the box.
Oh, look out, Paul. Don't show yourself in
case. I'm going to hit his blasted tire if it's the last thing I do.
You've hit it.
Timothy, I have.
He's skidding.
Great Scott, he's turning over.
Paul, look. Look, the car's on fire.
Steve, go to Joseph. I'll see you in a minute.
Yes, all right, but do be careful. Paul! Oh, there's someone climbing out of the car. Why? It's David Nelson.
Nelson, don't move. Do you hear me, Nelson? Don't move.
Who is it? I can't see. There's the smoke. It's you, Temple.
Don't move, Nelson. If you do, I warn you, I shall fire.
You think you're damn clever.
Keep your hand away from that pocket. Nelson, I warn you.
What do you want me to do?
You know where the telephone box is. Turn round and walk towards it.
And if I refuse?
I shall pull this trigger.
Temple.
Yes?
Do you think I'm Dr. Belasco?
Since you ask me, I think...
Give me that revolver. You give me that revolver.
Paul, are you all right?
Yes. Yes. Oh. Oh, what did you hit him with?
I found this spanner. As a matter of fact, I nearly tripped over it.
What about Joseph?
He's dead. One of the bullets caught him on the side of the head and...
Stay here with Nelson. I'm going across to the phone box.
Paul?
Yes, darling?
Is David Nelson Dr. Belasco?
No, Steve.
What time is it?
It's 11:30, Steve. I've brought you some coffee.
11:30? Oh, good heavens. I should have... Paul, you're dressed.
Yes, I've been up for hours. I've been down to the yard, darling, to see Sir Graham.
Paul?
Here's your coffee.
What are you laughing at?
You look exactly like the morning after the night before.
I feel exactly like the morning after the night before.
Drink up your coffee, Steve.
Oh. Paul, If David Nelson isn't Dr. Belasco, then how exactly does he fit into all this?
Well, as you know, when Dr. Belasco arrived in this country, he formed an organization. Nelson was a member until he fell out with Belasco and...
started an organization of his own.
Exactly. He knew that his wife, Reenie, was friendly with Mrs. Forrester, and he tried to persuade Reenie to get certain information about Mrs. Forrester so that he could blackmail her. He was very anxious to lay his hands on the Hamish Frinton document. This was the document that Mrs. Forrester's husband, Elliot Brooke...
Yes, I remember, darling, but why did Reenie Nelson commit suicide?
Because she found out that her husband was mixed up with Belasco.
Then his story about her borrowing money from Mrs. Forrester was simply...
An attempt on Nelson's part to convince you that he was the kind, devoted husband endeavouring to solve the mystery of his wife's suicide.
Yes.
He added strength to the story by telling me that he had engaged a private inquiry agent.
But he did engage her. We saw her at the cafe.
Ah. Mary Hamilton was a member of the Nelson setup. She was planted at Worth's cafe by Nelson in order to watch Worth. Suddenly, Nelson became suspicious and found that she was playing in with Worth.
So he murdered her the night we arrived at the cafe?
Yes.
But how do you account for the fact that you found Nelson's cigarette lighter at Abel Dunn's flat?
Well, Belasco placed the lighter on the stairs in order to throw suspicion onto Nelson. But what?
Well, from what you say, I gather I was wrong about Kaufman, and Henry Worth is Dr. Belasco. But why should he warn us about that bomb last night in the clock?
As you say, if he's Dr. Belasco, why should he do that?
Yes. Paul, what about Joseph?
Nelson tried to force Joseph to go in with him, as Joseph knew a great deal about Mrs. Forrester and her friends and would have been a valuable asset to Nelson. But Joseph refused and was beaten up. Then suddenly Nelson hit upon the idea of getting Joseph to telephone me and...
Yes? Come in.
I beg your pardon, ma'am.
What is it, Charlie?
Inspector Perry's here, sir, with Mr. Kaufman. They'd like a word with you.
Inspector Perry?
Yes, sir.
Yes, all right, Charlie. Tell them I shan't be a moment.
OK.
Now, I wonder what Inspector Perry wants. It's rather odd that he...
Did you see Perry? At the yard, I mean.
No, I only saw Sir Graham. I'll be back in a minute, darling.
I quite agree with what you say, my dear Inspector, but if, on the other hand, Worth deliberately telephoned Temple with the intention...
Good morning, gentlemen.
Ah, so here you are, monsieur.
Good morning, Mr. Temple.
Good morning, Inspector. What can I do for you?
Sir Graham asked me to tell you that the meeting's been called for 3 o'clock, sir. It's in Superintendent Bradley's office.
3 o'clock, yes. All right, Inspector, I'll be there.
We're picking up Mr. Worth this morning, sir.
A what? You mean a warrant?
Yes, sir.
Whose idea is that? Mr. Kaufman's?
Have you any objection?
You think that Worth...
I think that we are drawing very near to the final curtain, Mr. Temple. Worth is implicated in this business, so we cannot afford to take any risks.
Does that mean that you think...
That I think Worth is Dr. Belasco?
Yes.
It means precisely what I say. We cannot afford to take any risks.
Well, can I get you a drink?
No. No, thank you. We must be going.
3 o'clock, Mr. Temple?
Yes, 3 o'clock, Inspector. Thank you.
And how is Mrs. Temple this morning? I trust that your unfortunate experience last night has not unduly...
Hello, have you gone to sleep again, Steve?
Oh, good gracious. Darling, I don't think I shall ever get up today. What did Mr. Kaufman want?
Oh, nothing very much. There's a meeting called for 3 o'clock.
Who are you telephoning?
Worth.
Worth? But why are you telephoning Worth?
You'll hear. Hello?
Hello?
Mr. Worth?
Who is that?
This is Temple here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Temple. How are you this morning?
Alive and kicking, thanks to you, my friend.
You found it all right?
Yes, I found it all right. Otherwise, I shouldn't be talking to you.
I didn't know what to do, Mr. Temple. I was desperately worried, and I just didn't know what to do.
How did you know about it?
I overheard Belasco giving instructions to one of his men. It was quite by accident. But I realized what was going on and decided to telephone you.
Yeah. Well, one good turn deserves another, Mr. Worth.
What do you mean?
You've got about 15 minutes. They've got a warrant out for you. Perry's on his way to the cafe.
A warrant for me?
Yes.
Is this the truth, Mr. Temple?
Yes. Worth, tell me, that night you turned up at Abel Dunn's...
Well?
Did Belasco send you there?
But of course. I told you the truth that night, Mr. Temple. I swear I did. But you must realize I told you the truth. You must realize it because...
Because what?
Because you know the identity of Dr. Belasco, don't you?
Yes.
Mr. Temple, you're not joking about the warrant?
No, I'm not joking.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Goodbye, Worth, and good luck.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Paul?
Yes?
Then Henry Worth isn't Dr. Belasco.
No, darling. Henry Worth isn't Dr. Belasco. Here we are, Sir Graham.
Thank you.
Skull.
Skull.
What's on your mind?
I'm rather worried, Temple. I feel somehow that...
That what?
Well, to be frank, I'm not so sure that Steve should be in on this. You know Belasco, you know exactly...
I agree, Sir Graham, but you try and keep Steve out of it. I'm darned if I can. Once a newspaper woman, always a newspaper woman. By the way, did Perry pick up Worth this morning?
No, he didn't. I've got a shrewd suspicion someone tipped him off.
Tipped him off? Really? It's extraordinary.
Most extraordinary.
Will you have another drink?
No, thank you.
This man, Sir Graham, the man that's tailing Belasco, he's completely reliable, I take it?
Completely reliable. Temple, you're sure, quite sure, aren't you, that...
Quite sure, Sir Graham.
It seems extraordinary. I'd have bet my bottom dollar that it was...
Excuse me. Hello?
Mr. Temple?
Yes?
This is the Machicha Club. Hold the line, please. Mr. Bellamy wants you.
Hello there. Mr. Temple?
Yes?
Ed Bellamy here.
Hello, Bellamy. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, what's going on around here?
What do you mean?
This place of mine is swarming with dicks. It's lousy with them. No, but give us a break. I'm supposed to be running a nightclub, not a policeman's picnic.
That's all right, Bellamy. Don't worry. It's positively for one performance only.
Yeah, but seriously, it's getting in my hair. There's only one well-dressed guy out of the whole bunch.
Don't tell me that's Mr. Kaufman.
Look, what's it all in aid of, anyway?
You probably don't know it, Bellamy, but you've got a distinguished guest at the Machicha.
Well, not too distinguished, I hope, or we shall be landed with the bill. Who is it, anyway?
Dr. Belasco.
Dr. Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding anyone, Bellamy.
Dr. Belasco? Is this on the level?
On the level.
Temple, are you coming here tonight?
Yes, I shall be there with you in about half an hour. Incidentally, I shall probably want to use your office and borrow that periscope gadget of yours.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll be on the lookout for you. You know where the office is.
I do. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was Bellamy. He doesn't appear to be impressed by your colleagues, Sir Graham.
He will be when things get tough.
Hello, Sir Graham. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Steve.
Well, you don't look it, and you don't sound it either. You look very depressed. Darling, do you like the dress?
Yes, rather. But haven't I seen it before somewhere?
Of course. It's the one you saw in South Audley Street, the one you said was too expensive.
Oh, yes, I thought... Oh, yes.
Steve.
Yes, Sir Graham.
I do hope you won't think I'm being difficult if I...
If you suggest that I stay at home this evening?
Yes.
Paul, have you been getting on to Sir Graham? Because...
I never said a word, darling. Honestly, I didn't. In any case, I know what it is once you've made up your mind. Here's a cocktail.
Thank you.
I don't want to be difficult about this, Steve, but I do feel that...
Then don't be difficult, Sir Graham. Good gracious, who on earth arranged those flowers? Charming.
Steve, I do wish you would listen to Sir Graham.
You know perfectly well why we're going to the Machicha Club, Steve. We're picking up Belasco, and he may get awkward.
Sir Graham, I was in on the Belasco affair at the beginning, and I have every intention of being in on it at the end. Nothing in the whole wide world would stop me from going to the Machicha Club tonight. So be a darling, and don't waste your breath. Now... Mix me another drink, Paul, and then we'll be off.
Good heavens, have you knocked that back already? Sir Graham?
Not for me, Temple.
Here we are, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, look here. Supposing we compromised, and instead of you actually coming to the Machicha with us, you... Is anything the matter?
I don't know. Paul, I feel rather odd.
What is it, Steve?
What's the matter with you, darling?
I don't know. I feel dizzy. I feel... Paul, I... Oh.
She's fainted.
Yeah, it's all right, I've got her.
Lay her down on the settee.
Yes.
Temple, what is it?
It's all right, Sir Graham. I gave her a sleeping draught. She's spark-eyed. She'll be out for hours.
Temple. people, you are the limit.
Nothing in the whole wide world would stop me from going to the Machicha Club tonight. Good old Steve. Come along, Sir Graham. Don't worry about Steve. She'll be all right.
I'll put both your coats together, sir.
Thank you.
I'll take the ticket. Ah, very good, sir. Oh, thank you, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Perry.
Good evening, Mr. Temple.
Good evening, Inspector.
Everything all right, Perry?
Yes, sir. Nothing to report, sir. He's still here, sir.
Good. Come along, Temple.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. I believe you have a table reserved for me, Mr. Temple.
But of course. This way, please, sir.
Thank you.
There's Calvin.
Yes.
Here we are, sir. Your waiter will be along in a moment.
Thank you.
I'm going upstairs to see Bellamy. Shall I be long?
Yes, all right.
Who is it?
Can I come in?
Oh, hello, Temple. Yeah, sure, come in.
What's the matter, Mr. Bellamy? You sound nervous.
Nervous? Are you kidding? I'm like a jelly in a high wind. Ever since you made that crack about Belasco being here at the Machicha.
But he is here, I've seen him.
Yeah, I know, that's why I'm nervous.
You know, Bellamy, I've got a feeling that you're not quite so tough as you're painted.
Compared with guys like Belasco, I'm a violet, and I don't care who knows it. Can I get you a drink?
Are you having one?
What do you think?
Do you mind if I have a look at that periscope gadget of yours?
Go ahead.
You know, this is an awfully good idea of yours, Bellamy. You can see the whole of the restaurant.
Yeah, and on a clear day, you can see practically the whole of Scotland Yard. Here's your drink.
Thanks.
You see that man standing over there?
Yes.
Flatfoot. You see that guy drinking ginger ale?
Flatfoot. Turn around.
Do you notice the big guy?
The one in tails.
Yeah, the one in tails. So help me.
I take it you recognize Divisional Inspector Ronson?
Recognize him? Who wouldn't recognize him? He doesn't even deceive the cigarette girl. Okay, turn it around. Isn't that Sir Graham Forbes?
Yes.
Say, where's Perry? Oh, there he is. I thought he'd be somewhere around. And there's your French friend. Do you see him?
Kaufman, yes, I see him.
You know, if you ask me, I think that guy's a bit of a mystery. You know, I can hardly believe he's a detective. He doesn't talk like one. He doesn't act like one. He doesn't even dress like one.
Perhaps he's a very good detective, Mr. Bellamy.
Yeah. Could be. You know, maybe you've got something there. Temple?
Yes?
Where's Dr. Belasco?
Dr. Belasco?
Yes. Point him out to me on the periscope.
Well, I'm afraid I can't very well do that.
Why not?
Well, you see, he just doesn't happen to be in the restaurant.
Well, where is he? You said he was here. You said he was here at the Machicha.
Oh, he's here, all right. As a matter of fact, he's standing right beside me.
Right beside... Are you crazy? Why, I'm the only person that's standing right beside you. You don't think that I'm Dr. Belasco.
Aren't you, Mr. Bellamy?
Are you nuts? What makes you think I'm Belasco?
2 nights ago, I made a phone call from here to Sir Graham Forbes. I told him to follow a taxi that intended to take Steve and me to a shop owned by one of your men, a man by the name of Abel Dunn. You overheard that phone call, Bellamy, and shot the driver of the taxi so that he shouldn't lead Sir Graham to the address in Layman Street.
Go on.
When David Nelson got ambitious and decided to leave the Belasco set up, you fixed his car.
That's a lie.
You fixed his car and then conveniently turned up at the scene of the accident in order to divert suspicion.
That's a dirty lie.
At the beginning, you intended to throw suspicion onto Mrs. Forrester. That's why you told me that Joseph had asked you about Dr. Belasco. You suggested to Mrs. Forrester that she should get in touch with Abel Dunn regarding the Hamish Frinton papers. Later, however, you switched suspicion onto Worth and told Sir Graham Forbes a completely false story about Worth visiting the Machicha.
Worth did visit the Machicha. You know darn well he did. He told me to take £900 down to Ryford. What are you talking about? Didn't we go there? Didn't we find...
the dead body of Abel Dunn? And you know why, Bellamy? Because the poor devil had already served his purpose.
Are you suggesting that I shot Dunn?
Of course you did. And shall I tell you how? You walked across to the cottage. When you were about 20 yards away, you took a revolver from your pocket and fired a shot into the ground. That was the shot Sir Graham and I heard that was supposed to have killed Abel Dunn. You put the revolver back into your pocket, dashed up to the cottage, peered through the window, waved to Sir Graham and me, and then walked into the cottage, fitted a silencer to your revolver, and shot the poor devil dead.
Why, you cunning swine, I'll...
Put that lamp down. Put that... No!
Oh, what a fool, what a complete idiot. Oh, my head. Oh, what happened? What? Open the door! Open the door! Sir Graham! Perry! For heaven's sake, open the door! Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please. There's no cause for alarm. The club is not being raided. Now, kindly return to your tables. Start the orchestra and keep playing. Have you seen Ronson, sir?
Yes, he's checked on the goods entrance, but it's no use, I'm afraid.
It's beginning to look pretty black, sir.
Here's Sir Graham.
Carter's been on the Bruton Street entrance all the time. He's not seen him.
Oh, it's nearly 15 minutes ago, Sir Graham. If he's not in the building, then by God, he's miles away by now.
He must be in the building, Temple.
Unless there's a concealed entrance onto the roof, sir, and he's made a dash for it across...
Here's Kaufman.
You're wanted on the telephone, Temple. It's your wife.
Steve?
She sounded most perturbed. She told me to tell you it was urgent.
But I don't understand how the devil she... Which box is it?
The one in the hall, near the cloakroom.
Thanks. Is that you, Steve?
Paul, listen. This has got to be quick. I'm in a desperate hurry, darling. Now, listen. I left the flat about half an hour after you and Sir Graham.
But you couldn't have done. I gave you a sleeping draught.
You don't think I fell for that corny old gag? I emptied it into the flower vase.
Well, I...
Paul, do listen. I took a taxi down to the Machicha Club. Just as I arrived, I saw Bellamy climbing down one of the fire escapes. He had a car waiting for him.
Did you follow him?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Steve, did you follow him?
Yes. He's on the 10:15 to Benworth. It leaves Euston in exactly 4 minutes.
On the 10:15 to... Oh, my Lord, that's... Steve, where are you? Where are you speaking from?
I'm at Euston. I'm just getting on the train.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't do that. He's extremely dangerous.
Darling, listen. The train stops at Bletchdale. That's about 35 miles down the line. If you get in the car, there's just a chance...
Okay, okay, Steve, I'll make it. Don't worry, darling, I'll make it.
Paul, I've been so worried.
Just easy, Steve. Where is he?
He's in the next compartment, darling.
You sure?
Yes.
Is he alone?
Yes.
He hasn't seen you?
No, I was terribly careful.
Good girl, Steve.
What are you going to do?
Take this revolver, follow close behind me, and keep me covered.
Yes, all right.
Temple, what are you doing here?
Don't move, Bellamy. Don't move.
Paul, what's he doing?
Bellamy, I warn you, if you move, I'll shoot.
Paul! He's trying to get out the other side.
Bellamy, don't be a damn fool. Stay where you are.
Okay, go ahead and shoot. Go on.
I warn you, move away from that door.
Okay, shoot.
Paul, he's going to jump.
Bellamy, I'm warning you for the last time. Move away from that door.
You haven't got the nerve to shoot, Temple. You know darn well you have... Oh! Oh!
Paul, he's slipping.
Bellamy!
Paul, catch him. Get hold of his coat, darling. Listen... There's another train coming! There's another train coming!
Have another cake, Sir Graham.
No, thank you, Temple. I really ought to be making a move.
Nonsense. Another cup of tea, darling.
No, there's something I... don't quite understand, Paul.
Yes, there's something I don't understand either. Why do you always have to eat with your mouth full?
Well, you can't eat with your mouth empty.
Oh, I mean talk with...
We know what you mean, darling.
We checked up on Lord Craymore, Temple.
Mm?
He apparently worked for Belasco and, like Harry Marks, suddenly decided to double-cross him. Oh, incidentally, the Green Church people have picked up a man called Alan. He's the fellow that Worth told us about. It looks as if he's the man that beat up Braddock and, acting on Belasco's instructions...
Dumped him at Mrs. Forrester's.
Yes.
The thing I don't understand is why Bellamy went down to Ryford. Surely if he'd wanted to get rid of Abel Dunn...
But don't overlook the fact that Belasco, or Bellamy if you like, Steve, was very sure of himself. He looked upon the trip to Ryford simply as a means of pulling the wool over our eyes.
Exactly. Also, I think he felt that even if we did tend to suspect him, that trick outside the cottage would convince us that he couldn't possibly have shot Dunn, and consequently couldn't possibly be Belasco.
Yes. You know, Sir Graham, Belasco was a pretty shrewd bird. And I arranged for Mrs. Forrester to disappear and pretend to be dead.
In order to convince me that she wasn't Dr. Belasco?
Yes. I felt confident that he'd switch suspicion onto someone else. As a matter of fact, I rather favoured Kaufman. But you saw what happened. He saw through my little ruse and actually switched suspicion onto himself.
You mean the silver pencil?
Yes. Quite frankly, that rather shook me. I began to wonder if I was on the wrong track. As soon as I realised that Bellamy had provided himself with a first-class alibi, too good an alibi, I saw what he was getting at.
He was, in fact, trying to convince you that Belasco had switched suspicion onto Bellamy. That's why one of his men planted the pencil at the warehouse.
Exactly.
Oh, he was a shrewd bird, all right. Make no mistake about that. Well, I expect you're glad it's all over, Steve.
I know I am.
You are?
Rather. From now on, Sir Graham, I'm going to sit back with my feet on the mantelpiece and, as Sam Dodsworth would say, think of nothing more important than the temperature of the beer.
But that's exactly what you said after the Gregory affair.
Word for word.
Is it?
Of course it is.
Well, I'm damned.
Oh, darling.
Yes, well, you can laugh. You can laugh yourself silly. But this time I'm serious, really serious. I'm absolutely, positively, definitely, once and for all, finished with this sort of thing.
Until the next time.
Until the next time.
You have been listening to the last episode of Paul Temple and Steve, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Jimmy Chisholm, Richard Greenwood, Robin Laing, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Raynor.